Hi, Rich Shea here, finally starting up again with Play Board Games Better, because I had some ideas for a bunch of shows. I'm here with Rob Kircher, and he'll introduce himself in a minute, and we're two of the founding members of the Meeple League, and we're trying to encourage and expand competitive play of board games to other local and small events. But one of the things we realized was we've been participating in running, GMing, tournaments, and in Rob's case, whole events for a while now. And how to do it and how it works seems sort of like second nature. But the fact is that only a handful of people have actually done this and know how to make it happen. We thought it might be best to start to explain how you could do that too. And it turns out there's a bunch of things that you have to learn about, and we're going to go over them in a series of podcasts to make it as clear as we can. The first part is, I'll have Rob introduce himself. Rob?
Hi, name's Rob. I've been gaming for well over 30 years. I've been going to conventions and playing in various tournaments for about 18 years at this point. And the longest one I've been going to continuously has been the WBC, or which was AvalonCon, at the time. And I've been going to that one for 17 years. So going through a lot of, experience in playing various, tournaments at various other conventions, over the years.
And it wasn't too long till you were actually running, because WBC is volunteer run. If people aren't willing to step in and GM tournaments, there aren't any tournaments. And I know Rob started taking me there. I'd been to an early AvalonCon long, long ago. But I started going to WBC with Rob and some other friends. And by my second year there, I was GMing a tournament, small tournament. Now I GM Puerto Rico.
One of the largest tournaments.
And you've been GMing Santa Fe Rails for...
I think it's my ninth year, I believe, now, and actually one of the top 15 or 20 tenured GMs at this point for longest running their convention. I'm also the board game director. I run TotalCon up here in the Northeast.
A great convention.
And I've been running that one for now 8 years.
And I've helped Rob GMing on that one, and a lot of really nice tournaments. It's pretty competitive, but a lot of friendly people there. Really, if you want to cut your teeth on tournament play, TotalCon's a great place to do it.
Yeah.
Rob runs a good tournament.
And the first thing that I want to kind of talk about competitive play, we're not talking about Magic where it's quiet in the room and you have judges watching. You need judges to watch every single card play. These are average gamers that are looking to play, people that are enthusiastic about the game that they like, and take enjoyment out of playing multiple games of the same game, and hopefully with players that are equal skill level or even better skilled than they are, to also learn more about the particular game.
And the game master, and sometimes assistant game master, is just somebody who's familiar with the rules, wants to take on the task of doing a little paperwork and organizing, get people set up, decide who sits at which table. And if a rules questions come up, or it's starting to get late on the time cycle and the game's not finished, then that's where the GM steps in and does their difficult work of answering the questions, settling disagreements, and
making sure everything runs smooth.
And finishes on time so people can get to their next event. So it's very, very different. And it grew from a different history. If you've seen a Magic the Gathering or a Pokemon tournament, and they were very well done, but it's a big professional deal. There's some serious money spent getting into the tournament. Some of the prizes are pretty serious. Board gaming, not so much.
No.
A plaque might be the most valuable prize that you'll ever win if you win an event. So it's mostly for fun.
Mostly just for bragging rights.
That's right. And a comparable level of not as tense, not as serious. But we still like to have rules. So I thought we'd start by going over, aside from this little bit of history, and the difference between these serious tournaments, how the tournaments are organized, how they're run, how they're played. If you were just getting together with some friends, or you thought about it briefly, you'd probably figure single elimination. everybody plays, the winners play the other winners, and the winners advance until there's one person left standing. That's pretty simple to understand. It doesn't take much explanation, but it's not always the most fun way to play. One thing, of course, if it's a four-player game in the tournament, that means three-quarters of the people only get to play the game once, and they're out. Not as much fun, and not the best way to determine who's the best player. There are some games that make fine single elimination events.
Mostly head-to-head or two-player games.
Or two-player games seem to work better for that. But even then, we might have the two players play each other two or three times, like in a match. And then that determines who the real winner is. So it's not just, you know, once around and you're done. It's not done that way. And then again, it's not done as formally as the sort of Swiss elimination format used in Magic or chess, where there's a fairly large number of matches and everybody gets ranked. There's a limited number of matches, often 2 to 3.
Often based on the amount of time that's available, because single elimination does have the advantages that it eliminates players the quickest to get down to an eventual winner. But when you're playing Swiss play, you get a chance to rank players better, but it might take one or two extra plays.
Three rounds if there's time for it, especially at the WBC. And then the players are ranked, and depending on how many more rounds there are, usually two more, the top 16 players will advance. They'll play each other, and now it becomes single elimination. 16-4, and then a winner emerges, and the top four are ranked based on
presumably for a four-player game, and then if your game plays well with five, you can do a 25, take your five winners, and break it down.
Sometimes it gets a little more complicated. There can be just two rounds, and then you rank people. You might have to call it something else.
Swiss is purely open format that you then take a number of players. Fair tie-breaking system required. The Swiss Elim is the more widely used. You do Swiss play, and then you cut down to single elimination. That's
what they call it, WBC, Swiss elimination, is what you usually see.
Yeah, oh, Swiss play doesn't have single elimination, so you'll play an X amount of rounds, and then based on your win-loss record, and then what tiebreakers will determine the winners. And even with Swiss elimination, you're going to play similarly ranked opponents. So it's close to doing Swiss, having an elimination portion, but you are allowed to play in all the rounds, even up to the final, or the last round, even though you might not have had a chance to be the champion.
Based on your performance. Now, one of the other things that happens in, especially in the Magic tournaments, there's a very careful pairing in each subsequent Swiss round where you're matched against the person who is
similar record,
the closest to you. Tends to be not something that happens in board game.
Usually it's then with anyone with similar records, you randomly determine pairings. Usually in the Magic side, there is a weighted system of strength of schedule,
right,
and then they pair people up based on that as a tiebreaker than trying to use a purely random system.
In board gaming tournaments, usually it's pretty much random table assignment. Frankly, it's a lot less formal than that. Usually the person who brought their game sets it up and they stay with their game, and then other people are randomly assigned to their table. So you don't have to leave your game in somebody else's hands when you're doing that. It's close enough to random so that it doesn't seem to be an issue. Then in elimination rounds, again, it's pretty much random until it's down to the last table.
Or sometimes they'll have a ranking system that they'll assign players to semi, or what would be round two or semifinal tables. A lot of places will still do a purely random of the semifinalists for assigning them to tables.
Sometimes there'll be a bye. After the preliminary rounds, people with the very, very best record might get to skip the semifinal round. It's often done largely as a convenience to the GM. It makes it easier to get the right number of players into the tables. One of the things in board games, there's often an optimal number of players for a game. I'll take an example, Puerto Rico. The game allows 3, 4, or 5 players. 3, 4, and 5 player games are very different games. And a 5-player game, and people don't like it as much. We never actually use 5-player games. We always arrange as many 4-player games as possible, and then 3-player games to make the numbers match up. We never switch to a 5-player game. It's very, very unpopular with people who play even slightly competitively because it's just such a different game. a three-player game is a little bit different, but it's not considered so different that people would actually be annoyed if we started.
Which is also an important consideration when you're picking what games you want to make as a tournament, or what can make a good tournament game, is you want to also focus on how many players that you'll have and how likely you will of having that ideal number, Puerto Rico being a very good example. The game that I run the most is Santa Fe Rails, also has a very similar, it also plays 3 to 5. We almost never want to play 5, but 3 is a different game from 4. 4 would be our optimal number.
That's often the case. It's true that there are some games, they're really good games, that don't necessarily make for good tournament play. A game can be too long. A game can be on the edge. In my mind, like, a game that's on the edge is Power Grid. Power Grid is a great game. People really like it. Some people can't play Power Grid in the same time frame as other people. Not even close. And you have to have time limits. The sad part is that that can result in a game having to be adjudicated by the GM, which is never popular. Everybody has to go home eventually and the weekend ends and the tournament has to be over. So yeah, I want to be a little bit careful about games. I can't think of any real exception for a game that just doesn't make it as a tournament game but still a fun game. And though part of it could be at this point that you and I like the kind of games that make good tournament games too.
Well, for example, like Seven Wonders. It's a great game to play, but it's not really good in a tournament setting because you don't have a lot of direct player interaction. You're only looking at the player to your left and to your right.
It does have the advantage of having a pretty predictable time length, no matter how many players it has.
That is true.
It has been popular as tournaments, but I think you're right. It's not a fabulous game for tournament play for that reason. I mean, it's fun to be in a tournament of Seven Wonders, but I'm not sure that you see who's the best Seven Wonders player coming out of the tournament results.
Right.
You might see who's good.
And certain games, as you enter a tournament, realizing that some of them are very random as to who's going to win. You also want to have ones that people have fun at, but also some that might challenge them as well.
Right. An extreme example is Liar's Dice. At WBC, it's 220 people. I actually won one time. I like to tell people it's so random that no person's ever won it twice, but two people with the same name have each won it. That's how that game is, okay? It's a hilarious, fun event, and fortunately it's over in an hour and a half. It's not the super test of skill that you might think it is, and I certainly don't claim to be the world's best Liar's Dice player that year, even though I won the biggest tournament on the planet in it. And I think it's important to also remember that organizing a tournament about a game that's popular and current right now is going to get a lot of participants, and you might discover some issues going forward with it, and you just, you know, got to be flexible and go with it.
And speaking of picking out a particular tournament, one thing that you go, or a game as a tournament, one thing you want to pay attention to is that you do have to come up with a ranking system, usually to break ties. So be aware of whatever the rule tiebreakers are. And in some cases, don't be afraid that you need to invent additional tiebreakers so that way you can break down the positions.
I know in Puerto Rico, not my idea, but tradition has added a number of tiebreakers beyond the one in the rules, and we've seen them all used, because the game gets played a lot. And yeah, you might have to be creative. Certainly, if you're thinking about doing that, one of the places to look is at boardgamers.org, and you'll find that they've gone through a lot of games and made up tiebreakers that have stood the test of time and proved pretty reasonable for many popular games. I know Puerto Rico has tiebreakers that go beyond the ones in the rules, and also some interpretations of the rules that might help you out if you have to be the GM.
It's also a good reference if you have questions about particular rules that as a resource, because you can go to and take a look at the event previews and see how certain cases can be dealt with, or you might see situations that you might not think of when you're setting up your tournament.
And some very popular games, Agricola comes to mind. We have extensive notes, addendas, references by the designer on specific cases. I know that I can be pretty popular with my 50-page printout of Agricola rules interpretations that I drag around to tournaments even though I'm not the GM. Good players don't actually need them that often now, but some of them were kind of surprising when we first started playing the game. So those are good things to know. It's not as difficult as it sounds, especially with a little practice. And we'll be back next time. We're going to talk about keeping the records, registering and ranking people, using spreadsheets and automation to make your life easier. And yeah, you don't have to invent these things. Rob and I both use spreadsheets to help us keep track of things and not stay up too late at night between rounds of a tournament calculating who's next. So we'll make some of that stuff available online. And the place to look for things like that is, aside from on my website, playboardgamesbetter.com, there's also the Meeple League, where we're trying to support with some of these podcasts in terms of making it more accessible for people to build and enjoy tournament play at their own local events and maybe become part of the Meeple League. Thanks for listening to that, and we'll be back with another episode. But before we go on that, so Rob, what have you been playing that's fun lately? Rob and I tried a couple of new things, Polis and Eminent Domain Microcosm, but as our first play of each, and what we discovered with both those games is reading the directions doesn't tell you too much about winning, although that's true for a lot of games, and maybe less than in most cases here.
And lately, two games I've been playing a lot is the new Roll for the Galaxy and Concordia, the new expansion maps, been pretty exciting as well.
Oh, I've only played one of the expansion maps once, but I have them. I like that game a lot, and I was surprised at how much I liked Roll for the Galaxy. I really didn't think that I was going to pick it up, but after a couple of games, I had to. Now, I like the original card game, but I'm rubbish at it. I feel more comfortable with the Roll one, maybe because the extra chaos gives me a shot at scoring some points. But you're right, those are two fun games. And they're both games that I think would be good tournament formats. Is Concordia being played as a tournament at WBC this year?
Yes, it will be. Yes, yeah. And Roll for the Galaxy.
Oh, and Roll for the Galaxy. I think the vendor's sponsoring that one.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be they're both going to be popular tournament games. And they're the kind of games that make for good, fun tournaments. They're fun games. They're competitive. They do have some randomness, but in Concordia, you're totally in control of it. It's the other players that cause the randomness, not the game.
Right.
And Roll for the Galaxy, the dice. But again, you have a lot of control over reining in what the chaos does for you. Though sometimes you can just get hold. But that is our two fun. And it's the beginning of the convention season. I'm off to Origins next week. Rob's actually going to miss it for the first time in...
I think 4 years.
In 4 years. Well, I've only missed it twice in 41 years. Tradition, if nothing else, will keep me going. Plus, I have a blast there. The sad part is there's really not much competitive play there. Lots of demos, lots of fun. A lot of good players come and have fun. You can pick up some good games there to play with people.
Well, if you're into train games at Origins, they do have a fantastic Puffing Billy tournament.
That's true, the whole thing.
Yeah, that's run by the club that does the train games there. So they have all the different XX games and Crayon games that are there, and you can play those pretty much the whole weekend, and it seems to be very well attended.
That's true, yes. Very busy there. And there are some teaching games. If you get there, look at the schedule if you want to learn to play those games. Those are pretty tough. They're a little long for some competitive games. If you like tough games, tough economic games, and you haven't had a chance to learn 18XX, I say, track down Eric Brosius and make him teach you how to play. He's one of the few people that's enthusiastic about getting new players in that.
That is true.
I guess that's enough for now. So, but we'll be back sooner than a year, like I did for my last break on this thing. We'll start doing these regularly, with Rob helping me out at least while we talk about how to run tournaments, and maybe I'll get him to participate with other stuff when we get back to how to play games better. Because aside from running tournaments, Rob's also a pretty dominant player. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back soon. Bye.